This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. The Memorial of the English Martyrs by Father William Doc Holliday.
With a delivery up, do not be anxious.
May the words of the mouth, meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Tonight is a very patrimonial feast day for the Ordinariate. 40 English martyrs. 40 English martyrs that were canonized by Pope Paul VI in 1970. There are 40 English martyrs, but they are representative of the approximately 359 martyrs who were canonized before 1970, and there are still six or seven that are still in the waiting list for canonization for one reason or another. But over 359 men and women, some close to children, who gave their lives for the cause of the Catholic faith in England between 1534 and 1680. As the colleague said today, the prayer of the Church that the divisions that arise down here will be reconciled eventually in heaven, but that is only going to happen if there is reconciliation with Christ in this world. And those who persecute his people and persecute his Church, it is not going to bode well for them. I can guarantee you that. We should pray that there is a reconciliation, but at the end of the day, we should just first and foremost appreciate the fact that our Lord has called us into his holy Catholic Church, and that when the time comes for us to endure persecutions, even maybe to the point of death, that we are given the grace of perseverance. It is a grace. Our Lord says in the gospel that we read today that we're not supposed to be anxious about this whole thing. There are many people who are anxious about such things. I hear from them quite frequently. There are some people who come to my office several times, have come to my office in tears over the prospect of martyrdom. I couldn't endure that. You don't know what you're going to endure at the time because the time has not come. Our Lord says very, very explicitly in the gospel here that you should not be anxious for what you say will be given you in that hour, not before. So I don't know what I'll say. I don't know if I can do it. Not up to you. It's up to God. You will buy your martyrdom if it's necessary. Glorify him, and he will be glorified as he was in his Son who endured what he endured. This is a part and parcel for us in this world. We know our Lord Jesus Christ says in the gospel, I have not come to bring peace, I have come to bring a sword. That is very explicit. It's very explicit, and it's something that we need to take to heart because it is a reality. These men and women in England, they lived that reality. A lot of people who are Reformation, and it's just, an us versus them kind of thing. It was predominantly a very political thing. And when politics get involved, things get ugly, and then you add the fuel to the fire of religion, it gets even uglier. And people being sinners and who they are will take advantage of a situation to do wrong one to another. This is what was going on in England at the time. England, shortly after the Reformation, the whole Henry VIII thing and all that stuff, it really, at the end of the day, it was that the sovereigns of England said that you could not have allegiance to any foreign power, which they viewed the Catholic Church as being a foreign power. Because a lot of people, they don't want to be under the Roman pontiff. Rome was really a secondary thing for them. A country that was predominantly, to say the least, Catholic was Spain. And if you know your history, Spain and England constantly were at war. So if you were a Catholic, you were, for all intent and purposes, just in cahoots with the Spanish. Thus, you were a traitor. So they became very, very hard after the Reformation. It didn't have really all that much to do with theology. Henry VIII, for instance, Henry VIII was awarded the title of Defender of the Faith. There are like 27, I think somebody showed me a book there, I think it's actually 33 now, doctors of the church. 33 doctors of the church. There are a whole lot fewer people who have been designated as a defender of the faith. Henry VIII was, by Rome, labeled as a defender of the faith because of a book he wrote about the seven sacraments in defense against what the continental reformers were saying about it. Then all of a sudden, Henry found out that, hey, you know, you're the king of England. You should be the head of the church here because the church makes a lot of money. And you get, all of a sudden, things started to waver with him. Not theologically so much, but just ecclesial. Hey, I am the king of England, so I should be the head of the church here. Things started to get very ugly for Catholics. So ugly, in fact, that Pope Pius V, whose feast day is tomorrow, Saint Pope Pius V, on February 25th, 1570, which again, 50-ish years after all of nonsense started with the Reformation, he issued a papal bull, Regnans in Excelsis, reigning from on high, in which he excommunicated Queen Elizabeth I of England. Back in those days, gotta love popes back in those days, in his papal bull, he referred to her as the pretend Queen of England, a servant of crime. Like I said, you gotta love people that are direct. He issues this bull, not only calling her out, but he also said no person that was a subject of England was allowed to obey her under threat of excommunication, and that all Catholics should rebel against the Queen of England. Now, a lot of people look at it, oh, no, that's not right. That's not, well, honestly, even to this day, our church teaches that the only time that you can rebel against civil authorities is when they make you sin. She was making them sin. She refused to allow them to go to Mass. It was illegal to go to Mass. So she's making them sin. You could not be Catholic because a year later, in response to the papal bull, she legislated and enacted an act which made it treasonable to be under the authority of the Pope, including being a Jesuit, just merely being a Catholic, or harboring a Catholic priest. And the standard penalty for all those convicted of treason at the time were being hanged and drawn and quartered. A lot of people say hanged or drawn and quartered. No, it was both. They hung you till you were almost dead, cut you down, revived you, and then tore you apart, literally. That was what happened if you were a Catholic. Between 1534 and 1680, 359 plus men and women were killed because of their Catholic faith, for nothing other than being a Catholic faith. They executed people for having a letter of permission to marry from the church. That was executable. Oh, you wanted to get married. You have a letter from the church. It said that happened to them, drawn and quartered. This is the reality of the times in which they lived. But we really have to appreciate the fact that what our Lord says, it really, in our country anyway, we're living a little bit more civilly than in many parts of the world where there are martyrs all the time, Asia, Africa, places like that. And I'm thinking that you're probably going to see the encroachment of things like that here. You know, just a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, up in Canada, somebody made up a story about how evil the Catholic Church was to children in orphanages up there and threw them in mass graves and everything, which they found out was completely false, But they burned several churches down there. And one prosecutor said, I'm not prosecuting them for doing that because that's just rage that should be leveled against people who do such things. That's a reality. That was a year and a half ago in North America. Everybody's all happy about this whole Roe versus Wade thing. For one thing, don't be too happy because it's not over and done with yet. Even if it is, do you think one moment, that people who will kill babies will have any problem whatsoever with doing you violence? Do you think for one moment that they will not do the same things within some place government sanction if it be just turning the other cheek? Well, they should be enraged because you're keeping them from their right to this and their right to that. If you think for one moment that that kind of stuff isn't the catalyst for violence against the church, you are sadly mistaken. You got your head in the sand. So you better get ready for this stuff. They hate you anyway. You know, everybody loves us because we're Catholics and we're nice to everybody. Catholics that are nice to everybody aren't real Catholics. We try to be nice to everybody, but we got to understand that we have enemies. They do. They hate you. Newsflash, our Lord said it's going to be like that. They're going to hate you because they hated me first, amongst many other places in Scripture that speaks of their hatred for us because we stand for something. When that happens, if that happens, I'm thinking it's more when that happens, we are going to have the grace that I mentioned before, the grace of perseverance. And it is a grace, and you receive it when it's necessary. Today in the old calendar is the Feast of St. Monica. Love that feast also. Love her memorial. A woman that for years, literally years, shed tears every single day for the conversion of her son, who was the pagan Augustine. And now we know him, pagan Augustine, Saint Augustine, the big gun, the one that's referred to probably more than any other early church father, okay, in the breadth of his writings. And the depths of his writings and his ecclesiology and his theology, his sacramental theology, all these things that he had, it came from his tears of his mother. Why? Because she had the grace of perseverance. There's actually, tears are considered a grace, the grace of tears. It's a good thing if you care enough to be crying about something, but to cry every day for year upon year upon year for the conversion of one soul, you can see what it does. It raises somebody who is a heathen to the annals of the church and being one of the top saints, again, that's referred to. That's a grace of perseverance, both the grace of tears and the grace of perseverance with the tears. The same thing needs to apply to us. We need to have the grace of perseverance. You know, like the people who sit outside of abortion mills for the past, since 1973, you know, we're probably into like the third generation of people now, third or fourth generation of the younger ones that have stood out in front of abortion mills who have known no other thing. Their perseverance of the church to never step back and go, well, we're just going to let it go because it's just the law of the land now. Well, maybe not. That's a good thing. That shows perseverance. We need to individually show perseverance when it comes to things of the church. What's going on in the church now? From a local level all the way up to the highest of levels. We need to have the grace of perseverance to deal with that. I would actually submit, and I do quite frequently, we shouldn't even pay too much attention to it. Because in so many places, it's so far gone, it shouldn't influence what we do or what we think anyway. I mean, it's gone so far that it doesn't, we just got to do what's right. That's what the people in England did. They just did what was right, and it cost them dearly. I mean, you get saints like St. Margaret Clitheroe. The woman was pregnant, and they drug her out of her house, and when she wouldn't admit to hiding priests in her house, they put her door on her and put stones on it until she was crushed to death. And the whole time, did she for one moment recant, admit it? Nope. That was so egregious that the queen, who started all this stuff, She actually wrote a letter to her family, was like, that was over the top, in our language, that was over the top. Should not have done that, sorry. Like, that changes anything that they did to her. Man, this is the viciousness of people who hate your church to do something so horrendous to a pregnant woman. Well, that was back in the day. They just crushed a pregnant woman. They didn't kill the baby just outright because they wanted to, because it was inconvenient. They actually thought they had a reason. This is the satanic nature of this stuff. If you don't think that you have to currently, I mean now, Lord, if it ever comes, please grant me the grace of perseverance. And if that takes, hey, give me the grace of tears right now to be lamenting over what's going on in this world. Yeah, so be that also. It's a grace to be able to endure things like that. So when we endure things like that, there are martyrdoms like this, but there are also the little martyrdoms dealing with this. Dealing with this and hearing, oh, but this person says this, so you can't do that anymore. Well, I'll let that person show up and take the keys from me, and then I won't do it anymore. But we just got to do what's right. We guys, and not right in our own minds, right in what our church has taught us, right in the deposit of the faith, the scriptures, the tradition of the church, the magisterial teachings of the church. It's that far that we just have to start paying attention to ourselves as individuals and try to get to a parish where things are in some semblance what they should be. Because in a lot of places, and it's Pollyannish to say that it's not, that is the case. In many of our parishes, things are not what they should be. That's a given. That's why a lot of people are here now, right? That's not a feather in our cap. It's just how bad things got the other way. The people will sit in this little place, crowded as it gets on Sunday, hard to park, listen to babies cry. Hey, that's a sacrifice. Pray for perseverance. That's a little martyrdom. It really is. It's kind of joking when you compare it to St. Margaret Clitheroe and what she would, but it is a little martyrdom. It's a little sacrifice that we do for our Lord. They sacrifice everything for our Lord. So when we have to do things that might really bug us now, but if you step back and you think about St. Margaret, or you think about these 359 plus other men and women who gave up their lives for the Catholic Church in a most horrendous way. I'm not going to get into it. Go home and look up Google drawn and quartered. It ain't pretty. No execution is. They went out of the way to make that ugly. This is what they endured. We have to endure things in this world. They're martyrdoms. We offer them up. We offer them up, and they draw us closer to Christ if we face them with perseverance. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.